they weren't able to be together because they were separated, obviously. So Hannah FaceTimed Eve in the night just to read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas to her over FaceTime before Eve goes to bed. And then again this year they were able to. It's just a tradition they've had ever since they were little. And do you know, I've never, even though that book is somewhere in the house, I've never even read that poem. I don't know, I think that's where we get the reindeer's names from, and I think. But I want you to think of something, another poem called 'Twas the Day After Christmas. Just bear with me, I've adapted this just to fit into our situation. So here we go. 'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the house, every creature was hurting, even the mouse. The toys were all broken, their batteries dead. Santa passed out with some ice on his head. Wrapping and ribbons just covered the floor, while upstairs the family continued to snore. And I, in my T-shirt, new trainers and jeans, went into the kitchen and started to clean. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the sink to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains and threw up the sash. When what, to my wondering eyes, should appear but a little red van with an oversized mirror. The driver was smiling, so lovely but pale, there'd a patch on his jacket which said Royal Mail. With handfuls of bills, he grinned like a fox, then quickly he stuffed them through our letterbox. Bill after bill after bill they still came, whistling and shouting, he called them by name. Now Asda, now Tesco, now Sainsbury's and Marksies, and New Look and Primark and Apple and Kerry's. Now up to your limit, the contactless call, now tap away, tap away, tap away all. He whooped and he whistled as he finished his work, and he stepped through the box and then turned with a jerk. He sprang to his truck as he drove down the road, driving much faster. He only had half a load. Then I heard him exclaim with great holiday cheer, "Enjoy what you got. You'll be paying all year." Oh, look at that round of applause. Lovely. Well, I don't know if two people clapping and constitutes a round of applause. More like an oblong of applause. But there always seems to be a letdown following Christmas Day. You know, we have that excitement for Christmas morning, and you know, we open up our gifts, and then by the end of Christmas Day, we start to get a little bit tired, and then come the next day, there's almost like there's been such a build-up to this one day. We've had the lights, and we've had the trees, and we've had the decorations, and we've had the reminders, and we've had the cantatas, and the choir, and all the Christmas messages leading up to that one point. And then Boxing Day. What is Boxing Day all about? It's like a Tesco value Christmas, and it's not really Christmas because, you know, you don't wake up to any presents, but you've still got kind of a little bit of excitement for the presents you didn't have yesterday, but it's like we don't really know what it is. And then you have the adverts. When I was little, I hated those adverts. Come Christmas night, what would they be? Boxing Day sales. It was almost as if they said, Christmas is over, forget all of that, now we just look forward to spending some more money, but in a different way. In just a day or two, all the decorations will be down, the lights will be gone, the tinsel will be put away, the wrapping paper away for another year, and do you know what? Christmas music won't feel the same. I went to put some music on today, and it said I said, you know, what type of music do you want? And the answer I got back was anything but Christmas music. Oh, Christmas is done. It's gone. It's done away with. It is. It's over. It's finished. Get on with it. You're back to work now. I know you got 2 days off because Monday and Tuesday is a bank holiday. But we're like leading towards putting everything away and packing it down. Or are we? You're preempting me there, say, shaking your head as if you're about to lynch me because I'm saying that Christmas is over. But is it over? Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And we looked at Simeon ever so briefly when we looked at, behold the Lamb prophesied, behold the Lamb prepared, behold the Lamb provided and the Lamb presented. And we looked at Simeon briefly when we looked at behold the Lamb presented. But I just want to look at him in a little bit more detail and look at the sermon, 'Twas the Day After Christmas. I know it was 40 days after, but
you'll see how it fits in now. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written of the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to gather together in this way today. We're thankful for those that have come out today, Lord. I recognize how busy this day can be after Christmas, Lord, and how many commitments people have with family. But Father, I'm just thankful to be able to gather together with this family to praise and worship the Lord. And Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts today. We recognize that for some, Christmas is not an exciting time. For some, maybe the days following Christmas are something much more to be looked forward to because it's that period being over. But Father, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the excitement of Christmas never goes. And Father, I pray you'd help us to see that today, that even though Christmas Day may be over, the celebration never stops for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Help us to have the same excitement for the Lord that Simeon had. Help us to have the same testimony that the Lord had. Help us to have the same enthusiasm, the same witness that Simeon had. And Father, I just pray that if there's one here today or listening online that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, that today might be the day that they would call upon his name. So Father, we just pray now that you would speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. The birth of the Messiah was something that was anticipated for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It was foretold through the prophets. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis, thousands of years later, pointing to that promised Savior. And God gave the Savior in the most magnificent way, but people missed it. The first time the Lord Jesus Christ came, they missed it because they weren't listening, they weren't looking. Even though Daniel quite clearly said when the Messiah would be cut off, it would be easy enough to work back when the Messiah would actually come. The scriptures tell us that after the days of Mary's purification, when Jesus was about 40 days old, that his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer the sacrifice prescribed in the law. And when they arrived at the temple, there was a man waiting for the Lord to arrive. He had been listening. And if you remember from the message we spoke on, I think it was last Sunday, we said that Simeon's name means he who hears or one who hears. He had been listening to the Lord. Verse 25 of Luke 2 said that he was a just man, that he was a devout man, that he was waiting for the Lord. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was devout, that was, he's holy, he's morally upright. He was a man that was consecrated to God. He was, his desire was simply to see the Lord Jesus Christ. His desire was to see the Savior. It has been said that the shepherds in the fields were taught by the angels, whereas Simeon in the temple was taught by the Holy Spirit. Simeon is not a person we tend to think of in regards to the Christmas story. But here's the thing. Simeon saw the Lord Jesus Christ well before the wise men saw the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't associate Simeon with the Christmas story, but he saw Christ well before the wise men saw him. Simeon's life is marked by devotion to the Word of God. Simeon's life is marked by faithfulness to God, to a faithfulness to the promises of God. So who is he? Who is this man? What can we learn from this man? Well, first of all, we see that Simeon was a man who was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us to be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but to be filled with the Spirit, to be yielded to the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. That's what Paul is talking about there. If a man is filled with wine, then that man is controlled by that substance. When, if you've ever seen somebody who's drunk, they act differently, they talk differently. Suddenly, some have more of a bravado, or some are more introverted, but they change from who they are. So if we are to be controlled by something, when you see a drunk person walk, you can tell they're drunk because of the way they walk. You can tell they're drunk because of the way they talk. You can tell when someone's drunk. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when Paul says, be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, what Paul is saying is just as alcohol controls a person so that they talk, walk, and speak differently and act differently, so a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should talk differently because they are controlled by the Holy Spirit. They should walk differently. Paul said we are to walk circumspectly. We should walk differently because we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. We should act differently because we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Simeon was a man who was filled with the Spirit. He was controlled by the Spirit of God. It says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him in verse 26 by the Holy Ghost. In verse 27 it says, and he came by the Spirit to the temple. How did Simeon have so much faith? Because he was a studier of the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He spent much time poring over the Scriptures. Remember when we talked about the wrapping paper and how Christ was, that gift was wrapped up in the Old Testament? All the way through the Old Testament, we see pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see types of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Simeon pores over these Scriptures, he knows that Christ, the Holy Spirit has showed him that Christ is about to step onto the scene, as it were, that God is about to come down in the form of man and walk among men. And Simeon is aware of that. And he understood that the law could not get anybody to heaven. That's why Christ came. So why did God give the law to the Israelites? If the law couldn't get you to heaven, why have the Ten Commandments? If the Ten Commandments are not some kind of stepping stone to get to heaven. I loved what one preacher said. He said, if you think of the Ten Commandments as 10 chain links, and you are holding onto that chain, and that chain stretches all the way to heaven. If one of those links breaks, if you break one of those commandments, you are not getting to heaven. So why have the law? Well, Paul said that the law is a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. The law simply tells us how far short of God's glory we fall. And Simeon knew that. Simeon knew that all of the laws that were there in the Old Testament couldn't be kept in order for a man to be good enough to go to heaven. But he was waiting for the Christ to come. God in the flesh, who would be the perfect man to live the perfect life, to fulfill every aspect of God's law so that Christ could die on the cross as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the entire world. Christ was the answer. I don't know, maybe you've looked at the Bible and said, oh, I don't know, I just can't fill in the blanks. Can I say this to you? Christ is the one that fills in all the blanks. Oh, there's things I don't understand. There's things I'm not sure of. Here's the thing. Christ died for sinners. If you were a sinner, Christ died for you. If you accept him as your Savior, you become a part of God's family. If you become a part of God's family, you have access to God's house. God's house is in heaven. Therefore, if you are a sinner and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a part of God's family and you have an eternity waiting for you in heaven. Christ was the answer, and Simeon knew that. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was taught by the Word of God. He was obedient to the will of God. He is proof that a life can be led by the Spirit of God, that a life can be a righteous and devout life, that it can be a good testimony in every circumstance. When we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, it's incredible what he reveals to us. You ever read the Word of God and sometimes thought, I have no idea what that's saying. That doesn't mean anything to me. I'm as confused now as I was when I first started reading it. Is the problem with the Word of God, or is the problem with us? And then sometimes you go back to the very same passage of Scripture and you read it and you go like, oh, that spoke to me so much. Well, the Word hasn't changed, so what's changed? Our relationship with him. The fact that whatever sin was in our lives that was blocking our fellowship with God is being confessed, and now the Holy Spirit is able to speak to us in that way. Simeon teaches us that when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, God reveals so much to us through his Word. In verse 26, the Spirit of God told Simeon that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Christ confirmed these truths as well when he said in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Simeon wasn't some old weirdo that spent his days wandering around the temple, shouting and bawling and hoping to meet the Savior. He was a man who was simply obedient to the Word of God. He was a man that studied the Scriptures. He was a man who was told when the Savior would be born. He was a man that simply believed the Word of God, even if he didn't fully understand it. I think that's the problem sometimes with some Christians. Oh, yeah, but, you know, there's parts of the Bible that I don't understand. Can I say this to you? That's not the bit that worries me. I'm not worried about the parts of Scripture I don't understand. I'm worried about the parts of Scripture I do understand. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, do this, that, or the other because there's so much I don't know. Don't worry about what you don't know. Just get on with living your life for the Lord based on what you do know. And then study to show thyself approved. Simeon was there to see the Savior. And sometimes we question, why do we come to church? What do we come for? You know, Pastor Ed always used to say about churches in the States, in order for a church to start in the States, they normally do a survey of the area. What do you want? What are you looking for in a church? Well, I'm looking for childcare. I'm looking for a nursery. I'm looking for a certain type of music. I'm looking for a church that is more focused upon worship. I'm looking for... What if we just came to see Christ? Simeon just came to see the Savior. So why do we come to church? Do we come to be entertained? Do we come because we like singing? Do we come because, we like a certain aspect of the church or the fellowship or the tea and coffee? Or do we come because we want to see Christ? That is the motivating factor for coming to church. Because we want to see the Lord. Simeon went to the temple because he was controlled by the Spirit of God, because he wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. But what controls our life today? So much controls our life. We are controlled by our devices. We are controlled by the world's opinion. We are controlled by so many different people about what to think and about what to do. But we should be controlled by the Lord. Now, that doesn't say that the Lord, you know, that we are some kind of nanobots, that we have to obey the Lord's command and that he, like, controls our minds so that we are just like clones. And that's not what that's saying. We ought to have a desire for God's will to be done in our lives, to be yielded to the Lord, to be controlled, so that when we are faced with certain situations and certain circumstances, instead of the flesh controlling our response, the Spirit of God controls our response, so that we act in a different way. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Simeon allowed himself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Simeon was prepared to die. It says that that he took the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He was prepared to die. I don't know how long Simeon had been coming to the temple. I don't know how long he'd been waiting or how long he'd been poring over these scriptures. But one day it happened. One day the Lord showed up. Do you know, I often tell people, the days that I didn't feel like going to church, like sometimes I'd get home from work on a Monday night really late, like I'd have been in work at 5:30 just to catch the swap over from the night shift to the day shift, and then you'd have to stay, you know, so you'd get the swap over from the day shift to the afternoon shift. And sometimes you'd be doing 12, 13-hour days, and I'd get in from work, and I think the last thing I want to do now within the 15 minutes I got left is get changed, try and eat something, and then go to church. And I think Pastor Ed would understand. He knows how busy I've been. He knows how busy work has been. I don't really want to go to church. But I need to be there. So let's go. And you'd get to church, and oh, my days, the Lord would speak to me so clearly, and the message was just for me, and I think, if I hadn't been there, I'd have missed it. You know, what if Simeon on this day suddenly said, well, I've been every day for the last, I don't know how many weeks. My feet are aching, I'm a bit tired, I don't feel like it. And the Lord will understand, so I won't go today. And that's the day the Lord shows up. One day, a young man and a young woman, both of peasant stock, looking poor, come into the temple carrying a baby. And the Holy Spirit says to Simeon, that's him. That's who you've been waiting for. That's who you've been reading about. That's who this is all about. That's him. A Simeon steps forward, looks at this baby, and all doubts are swept aside. That's the one the prophets have written about. That's the one that the Old Testament has pointed to. That's the one that all the types in the Old Testament have pointed to. That's the one that the prophets have spoken about. That's the one that the Word of God for these last thousands of years have been anticipating coming. That's him. And this old man gazed into the baby's face, the face of God manifest in the flesh. And in that instant, in that moment, right away, as soon as Simeon had seen Christ, he was ready to depart this earth. He was ready to go. Satan's realm in that regard reeled, because he, as being the prince of death, if you like, was now confronted as the prince of life stepped onto this planet. Simeon was ready to die. Can I ask you this question? Are you ready to leave this world? If you were to die right now, do you know where you'd go? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know that you'd go to heaven? Yeah, I'd go to heaven. How? Why? Because I'm a good person. Never hurt anybody. I've never done anything wrong. I've never stolen anything. I've never done anyone ever any harm. I've always tried to do my best. I've always tried to give to charity. And I've always tried to be a pleasant person. That's not how it works. It doesn't matter how pleasant you are. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. It doesn't matter how much you've given to charity. It doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. It doesn't even matter how many times you've read the Bible through. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, none of that matters. I don't see how people can read the Bible through and not come to that realization that God came in the form of man to die upon the cross to save the world from sin. Being in church doesn't save you. It's a decision that you have to make. Simeon saw Christ and was ready to die. For every single person here that's ever accepted Christ as their Savior, they've come to that point where they've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They've seen him for who he is. They've seen themselves for who they are. And they've called upon his name. Simeon was ready to die and depart in peace. And his life encourages us that we should be the same. That if we know Christ as our Savior, we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's encouraging to note that where it says in verse 29, the Lord now lettest thou servant depart in peace. That word there, depart, it means to set free, to release a prisoner, to acquit one accused of a crime, to set him at liberty, to release a debtor. That is the same thing that Paul had in mind when he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. That word departure there means unmooring a boat that's tied up at the harbor and setting it free, taking down a tent where you've set up a temporary abode to head to a more permanent place. Simeon didn't view death as a terrible end, but simply a setting free. He was ready to depart. How incredible that for those who know Christ as their Savior, death is not the end. It's hard when we lose loved ones that knew the Lord. That is tough because there's a physical loss. But there's a comforting thought to know that one day we'll see them again. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Simeon was ready to die. Simeon was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Simeon cared for lost souls. For mine eyes in verse 30 have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon knew that Christ was the light of the world. He wasn't just a little candle on a Jewish candlestick. Simeon could see beyond his own agenda. He could see beyond his own people. He could see beyond his own nation. And he could see that Christ was come to make a difference to the whole world. Not just a Messiah who would save his own people, Israel, but a Messiah that would be a light to the Gentiles. A Messiah that would take away the sins of the entire world. Isaiah 42:6 may have flashed into Simeon's mind. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Simeon knew by faith what Christ would later tell Nicodemus and the Apostle Paul, that Christ would tell Nicodemus and later the Apostle Paul would tell the church at Galatia. That God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And all you had to do was believe, to trust fully in him. And as a result of that, you'd never perish. But you would have everlasting, eternal life. Paul said that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male and nor female. You're all one in Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter where you've come from, what your background was. Do we love the lost? I am praying that in this next year, we will, as we've pinched Gwilym's phrase, an evangelism explosion. And that's what we want. We want an evangelism explosion. We want to evangelize this whole community. Time is running out. We don't know how much more time we've got left because of what's going on in the world. We want to see people saved. We want to see people come to know the Lord. Not because we can fill the church up and then we can have, lots of people think, oh, the church is just always after people's money. We're not here to take up an offering. We're not here to make money. We're here to see souls saved. Steve just passed out now. He said, tell people not to give. We've got bills to pay. But we're not. We're not here for people's money. We're here to see souls saved. To make a difference in people's lives. So that people can come to know Christ as their Savior. Christ can save the lost. Christ can set the captive free. Christ can bring light to those who live in darkness. Christ can give sight to those who are blind. Christ can heal the brokenhearted. And Christ can bring salvation to all of those that call upon his name. Simeon cared for the lost. Simeon was prepared today because he knew the Savior. Simeon was controlled, yielded to the Holy Spirit. And finally, Simeon blessed others by simply sharing the word of God. Simeon said in verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon was a source of blessing to Mary and Joseph because he shared the word of God with them, but he didn't sugarcoat it. You know, oftentimes we feel like we've got to sugarcoat God's word. We don't offend people. We don't want to talk about the fires of hell because that's offensive. So let's just pretend hell doesn't exist. We want to talk about people being sinful because that just upsets people and that offends people. Who are you to judge me? You holier than thou type of person. So let's not talk about sin. Let's just say everybody's, we're all going to the same place and we just kind of take different routes and we all get to the same place in the end. Well, we can't sugarcoat the gospel because there'll be a lot of people going to a Christless hell who listened to a sugar-coated gospel that did them nothing at all. Simeon didn't sugarcoat what he had to tell Mary. When he spoke about Christ, he used three important images. He used a stone, a sign, and a sword. He said in reference to the stone, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising. The fall and rising again of many in Israel. The stone is an important Old Testament image of God. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock. Psalm 71:3 says, for thou art my rock. The Messiah would be the rejected cornerstone. And the nation of Israel would stumble over that stone. And because of Christ, many in Israel would fall in conviction and then rise in salvation. People still stumble over the cross today. Paul said that we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. They don't understand that Christ is that rock. He is the rock that we can build a solid foundation upon. But he is that cornerstone that the builders have rejected. He is that rock that will one day smash through that image, that world-ordered image seen by Daniel. He is the great rock. Simeon talks about him as a stone. He talks about him as a sign which shall be spoken against. The child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. The word sign there means a miracle, not so much as a demonstration of power, but as a revelation of truth. Remember when we looked at John's Gospels and we sought out the word miracles weren't mentioned as such, that they were called signs because they reveal specific truths about who he was. Every time Jesus performed a sign, it was revealing another aspect about who he was. Christ is God's miracle. But instead of admiring him, the people attacked him. They rejected him. They wanted nothing to do with him. His birth was a miracle, and yet they slandered it. John 8:41, they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. They said his miracles were done in the power of Satan. Remember, they said that this is done by Beelzebub, that these things are done by the power of the evil one. They slandered his death. They lied about his resurrection. All the disciples stole his body. Every miraculous thing that the Lord did, they tried to explain away as something else. Even today, people speak against his coming. Ah, he's not coming again. You lot in the church have been on about that for the last 2,000 years. He might not have arrived yet, but here's the thing. Every prophecy that was ever spoken of about his first coming came to pass. Every prophecy ever spoken about his death upon the cross came to pass. So I can promise you this. Every prophecy spoken of by his second coming will come to pass. And then Simeon said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The image of the sword was for Mary alone, and it spoke of the suffering and sorrow that she would bear as a mother of the Messiah. The Greek word here for sword speaks of a large sword, such as Goliath used in 1 Samuel 17. And the verb means to constantly keep on piercing. I wonder how much Mary and Joseph understood of God's plan for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're in such a privileged position now because we look back to the cross. We have the complete word of God. You know, we're in a more privileged position than even those Old Testament saints, such as Moses, Abraham, David. Why? Because we have the full, complete word of God in our hands. Because we have the privilege of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, to never lose the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God doesn't come and go as he pleases in our lives. Once he indwells us, he's there to stay, unlike the saints of the Old Testament. So we're in a much more privileged position. I don't think we always appreciate that. We don't always realize what we have. We don't always appreciate what God has given us. You know, and just like Boxing Day being the letdown to some because the excitement of Christmas is over, I think sometimes we have that feeling as believers that once we've become a Christian, we start off with that excitement, and then it's almost as if the Boxing Day effect kicks in for us as believers, and then our excitement for the Lord starts to wane, our desire to read his word starts to wane, our desire to pray starts to wane, our desire to be in church starts to wane. Maybe we start to think of the word of God as dull. Maybe we start to think of prayer as a bit of a chore. Maybe we start to think of the things of God as boring. But we ought to have the excitement that we have for Christmas all the time as believers because of what God has done for us. Just like Simeon, we ought to be controlled by the Spirit. Just like Simeon, we ought to be prepared to die and ready to go and happy to see the Lord. We ought to be like Simeon and care for the lost of this world because they're headed to a Christless hell. We ought to be like Simeon, prepared to share the word of God. Not to sugarcoat it. I'm sure Mary didn't want to hear the fact that a sword was going to pierce her side when she would experience the loss of her son upon the cross of Calvary. Don't sugarcoat the word of God to make it palatable to somebody, because the word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword. It is designed to pierce and cut through all the nonsense of this world and get straight to the point. I'm thankful that I know the Lord is my Savior. I'm thankful for the fact that even though Christmas has come and gone, I'm as excited to serve the Lord today as I was yesterday. I'm as excited to come to church next Sunday as I was on Christmas Eve. You know, perhaps there's services in the year that we think, oh yeah, I really like that service because it feels different. And maybe that service feels different because you come to church with that attitude. What if we came to church with that attitude every Sunday? Whoa, this is going to be a Christmas Eve type of service. This is going to be a service where the Lord is really going to speak to us. This is going to be a service where the Lord is really going to show up, speak to my heart, excite me about the things of God. And maybe then every service we come to on a Sunday will feel exactly like a Christmas Eve or a Christmas Day service. I really hope that in 2022, we can get an excitement for the things of God, an excitement for the Word of God, an excitement for praying, an excitement for God's will to be done in our lives, an excitement for being in this house, for being in church together as a family. Who knows how many more restrictions are going to come into play? But one thing I do know is that God is still on the throne. God is still saving souls. God still has a work for us to do here at Bethany, whether Drakeford says we've got to be only 60 people in the church or 1,000 people in the church. It doesn't matter. God still got things for us to do. So let's do them. Don't have the Boxing Day blues. Don't have the day after Christmas type of feeling. Don't have the, oh, Christmas is over and the Boxing Day sales have started. Don't have that kind of attitude. Have the kind of attitude of, right, it's January. Let's buy all our Christmas presents in January sales so we're ready for when Christmas comes. Let's just have that excitement all the time to serve the Lord. Because serving the Lord is an exciting thing. Being a believer is exciting. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. I don't know what 2022 will bring, but what I do know is the one that will get us through 2022 and 2023 if he tarries. So let's be busy about the Lord's work. Let's be a Simeon as we anticipate the Lord's coming and what he can do in our church. Father, we thank you again for this day and for this time together and for all of those that have gathered together in this way, Lord. For those who've joined us online, we thank you, Lord, and we just ask that you would prepare our hearts now to be excited for what it is you've got in store for us as a church family, as a body of believers in the coming year. And Father, as we close out our last Sunday in 2021, Lord, we come with anticipation. We come with excitement to think what you have in store for us for 2022. Father, would you send more people our way? Would you help us to go out and witness to more people? Would you help us to get tracts into the hands of those who are lost? Would you help us to share the gospel with unsaved family members, unsaved work colleagues, unsaved friends? And Father, would you help us to not just fill this church with bodies, but to fill this church with people who want to be here, who want to serve the Lord, who want to know more about you. Father, would you make us excited about the things of God? We pray and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together, Amazing Grace. Amen. Amen. I wonder if Daniel closes in a word of prayer.
Pray, God, to not end just yesterday, and that we spend the rest of this year, the rest of all of 2022 is going to hold for us, just worshiping you and being thankful for it. Father God, we thank you for the words that we've heard tonight. We pray that we would take them with us as we go. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.